Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Let's get straight to the docket. First, Kyle Rittenhouse. He testifies at his own trial, and the judge unleashes on the prosecution. Alec Murdoch, guess what? He's staying in custody. Barry Morphew's back in court. An update on the Ahmaud Arbery trial. Ghislaine Maxwell, still trying to get out. A follow-up on a super brazen case in New York. More food assault and, of course, our dumb criminal. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel, a channel where an actual practicing criminal defense attorney explains the facts, the procedures, and the law regarding current actual true crime cases. All right. Now, if you haven't done so already, please hit the subscribe button, hit that little bell so you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. Thanks for everyone for joining us last night for our live show as well as our Patreon show. Don't forget to leave me a comment below. Don't forget to listen to this show and past shows by downloading the Crime Talk on all of your favorite podcasting apps, Apple, Spotify, iHeart, Android, Amazon Music, as well as Audible. Just type in Crime Talk with Scott Reich. All right, real quick, support the people that help keep the lights on here for Crime Talk. Go to crimetalkprep.com and you can claim your 3 months of an emergency food kit. Why would you want to do that? Well, we've all seen the realities of the world relating to the supply chain shortages. Real picture, take a look at this. Went in to get Gatorade. I was tasked with getting Gatorade the other day at a Target store. This is what was on the shelf. Nothing, okay? And my favorite drink, sugar-free Red Bull, an actual shortage, okay? But that's a drink. You need food. And there's actual shortages regarding food these days. Unbelievable. Whoever would have thought that would happen in America? Anyway, go to crimetalkprep.com. You can get your 3 month emergency food supply. Get $100 off when you go there. Listen, this is about being responsible, doing the responsible thing. Because in today's world, I think we've all learned over the last 18 months, 2 years, you just never know what is going to happen next. So you better be prepared. Go to crimetalkprep.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is Wednesday, November 10th, 2021. What is the significance of this day? That's right. It is the United States Marine Corps birthday, 246 years. Happy birthday, Marines. Semper Fi. All right, let's get to the trials of the day. Kyle Rittenhouse testified in his own defense. That's right, the Kenosha shooter, Kyle Rittenhouse, took the stand early Wednesday morning to testify in his own defense on day 7 of his murder trial. Now, Rittenhouse broke down on the witness stand as he recalled the moment when he was ambushed by Joseph Rosenbaum the night that he was shot dead. His mother, Wendy, watched on from the public gallery of the Kenosha courthouse, weeping as Judge Bruce Schroeder called for a recess. Now, Rittenhouse recounted the events of the night and explained that he had gone to administer medical aid, armed with his rifle, but not looking for trouble, when he found himself alone and cut off from the rest of the group. Now, Rittenhouse told the court that Rosenbaum threatened to kill him twice, once while swinging a heavy chain and a second time when he said he would cut your effing heart out and kill you, and using the N-word. Rittenhouse testified that he was armed with his medical bag, his AR-15, and a fire extinguisher to help put out fires that the protesters had ignited. He added that he would yell, "Friendly, friendly," at people screaming at him. As he goes on to explain, Mr. Rosenbaum running next to him at a point in that night. Rittenhouse begins to sob, and the judge was forced to call a recess of the proceedings so that Mr. Rittenhouse could compose himself. Now, Rittenhouse returned and told the court he was there that night to administer medical aid and that he had helped a woman with a sprained ankle and helped Ryan Blanche when he was affected by some type of a chemical bond. Now, the prosecution asked Rittenhouse about his silence, okay? We'll get to this in just a second. And he asked if he knew if it was illegal to own a gun under the age of 18, asked about curfews and Rittenhouse's EMT experience. Well, The judge got mad, okay? The judge got extremely mad and basically said a lot of these questions had to do with what they refer to as 404B evidence and wasn't admissible. Now, Rittenhouse says if he could legally carry a pistol, he would have, but he couldn't because he was underage, but he instead had a rifle. He went on to explain how he acquired the rifle through a friend and that they kept it up there in Madison or in Wisconsin. And then he didn't take it to Chicago. But let's talk about why the judge unleashed on the prosecution, okay? The prosecution can never, and I mean never, comment on the silence of a defendant. It implicates their Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. So the prosecutor asked, well, this is the first time we've been able to hear your story. You didn't tell us the night that you were there. You didn't talk to the police. And the defense properly objected. The prosecution was frankly, and I've seen this before, when the prosecutor believes that they are losing the case, they start to play dirty. Okay. The prosecutor also tried to get into certain questions that the court had previously excluded and said, don't go there. The judge was livid. He told the jury to go back to the jury deliberations rooms and wait. And the prosecutor basically said, well, judge, I think there's a different theory that I should be allowed to bring this evidence in. And the judge's like, I don't believe you. He said he wasn't acting in good faith, even though the prosecutor said he was acting in good faith. And the judge says, I don't believe you. The defense asked for a motion to dismiss, which was basically a mistrial with prejudice. And it's referred to as manifest necessity. If the prosecutor does something that causes the mistrial, basically the court can just completely dismiss the case. The judge said he was going to hold on, not rule on that motion to see if the prosecutor basically did anything else over the line and then would rule on it. I don't think the judge is going to grant a mistrial at this point. And at the time that we are filming this, they just recessed for the day. I swear, I'm being as objective as possible. And if anyone may recall, when this case first broke, I was like, man, this Rittenhouse kid, he's got big trouble. But as the evidence started to come in, I'm like, I think this kid could walk on the most serious charges and that he'll be found guilty of some of the lesser charges relating to the possession of the firearm and things of that nature. Frankly, the least of Mr. Rittenhouse's concerns. But the conduct by the prosecutor today, I'm telling you, that was not even rookie conduct by a prosecutor. That was, in my humble opinion, you have a very experienced prosecutor who knows you can't do that. I think he was trying to get a mistrial, okay? And guess what? A prosecutor can't cause a mistrial on his own and then expect, well, I guess we'll just do it over again. That's why the judge was basically saying, you better watch yourself because if you cross that line again, I may grant their mistrial and I'm going to dismiss the case in its entirety. So things are not going well, okay? Any, I think, legitimate courtroom observer has got to admit that the defense is doing a very good job. And Kyle Rittenhouse on the stand, for being an 18-year-old kid, he is mature beyond his years, and he is handling the prosecutor, in my humble opinion, very well. He has not given the prosecutor anything to really beat him up on, and other than a couple of things where Rittenhouse said, yeah, I wasn't truthful that night, that he was, in fact, an EMT, right? He had received first aid medical training as his job in a lifeguard. Okay, he held himself as an EMT. What element does that go to prove or disprove? It doesn't. So, not really relevant in the big scheme of things. The prosecutor was, I think, delaying ending his cross-examination today so that he can have overnight, get one more shot, organize his thoughts, figure out what he needs to ask the questions of, but it also gives the defense an opportunity to make sure they're organized, prepared, and they can also prep their witness for any future questions. But this kid, I'm telling you, I have seen adults that do not do this well on the witness stand. Now, there was somebody, and I think she worked for MSNBC News, she put out some tweet in the Twitter universe out there that this judge should be removed, and it's obvious that he is racist. Well, this person, well, she's an idiot, okay? Any judge has an obligation to make sure that the defendant receives a fair trial. Both sides receive a fair trial. And one of the major things is that in talking about somebody invoking their right to remain silent, which is their constitutional right to do, like, I sure hope that woman is not a lawyer, because if she was, they should probably take away her law license, or at least her law degree, because clearly she learned nothing. And you're not going to remove the judge. He did what any decent judge would have done. And he didn't declare a mistrial, but I'm telling you, he admonished that prosecutor today. Good on the judge. All right, let's move on. Alex Murdoch. You know, I think Alex Murdoch is probably sitting in his jail cell right now thinking, who is this judge and does he not know who I am? That's right. A South Carolina judge has reiterated his belief that Alex Murdoch is a danger to himself and to society. And as a result, he has formally denied bond to Mr. Murdoch in connection with a pair of the charges filed against him last month. Judge Clifton Newman kind of shocked the courtroom last month when he denied Murdoch bond on a pair of the property theft charges. And he affirmed that order today. Now, Newman denied bond to Murdoch on a pair of felony property charges tied to the suspicious death of former Murdoch housekeeper Gloria Satterfield. Another guy who I think is saying, hey, don't you know who I am? Well, is probably Barry Morphew. And I don't know if you saw his attire. I get it. It's a rural town, whatever. But you should probably show up to court when you're charged with murder and the judge gives you a bond that you make. Put on a suit. Just a little advice there. It shows respect to the court. I hate when people show up to court looking like they're going to change the oil on their car, or maybe they just did. All right. The only thing that is worse is when attorneys show up and, well, you know, they're wearing like tennis shoes with their suit or something. You just don't do it. Well, Barry Morphew is claiming, and there was a hearing yesterday, he's claiming that prosecutors are keeping key evidence from the defense in his murder case, and obviously there's been no body found. Now, the hearing started Tuesday with a pretty bold statement saying there is a black hole in this case when it comes to any evidence pointing away from Barry Morphew killing his wife. Well, Morphew's attorneys also claim that they have still not been giving all of the discovery in this case. Listen to what the prosecution says. We're working on getting some help with that. I don't know what century this prosecutor's office is living in, but they better get up to speed with technology really, really fast, or what is already beginning to show a weak case is going to get a hell of a lot weaker. Now, Iris Itan, one of Morphew's attorneys, listed 8 discovery items the prosecution has not produced to them, saying that it is a pattern which is causing a fraud on the court. Well, what's the fraud on the court? Well, that's when the prosecution says, Judge, we're turning everything over, and then they're not. That's a fraud on the court. Some of these items are Suzanne's HP laptop, opinions of experts regarding DNA matches, reports and statements between the 11th Judicial District Attorney's Office and law enforcement agencies. Now, both sides spent most of the hearing arguing over when the investigators learned about the 3 possible DNA matches from swabs collected from Suzanne's glove box and whether or not they followed up on those potential leads. Another discovery item was the defense wants to have is the location and any of the reports about a game camera that the state recently put up near Morphew's residence. His attorneys want to call to the stand 7 witnesses, but could only get through about 2 witnesses and started a 3rd. So they're going to be back in court on December 14th. Now, listen, the prosecution has a duty to turn over everything in the case in a timely fashion. And the prosecution office in the Morphew case better get their act together real soon, or there's going to be some real sanctions here, and it's not going to be good for the state. I told you early on, the attorneys that Barry Morphew has hired are very good. They are going to go after everything that they believe they're entitled to, and I think the judge is going to agree with them. So the prosecution better get going, or there may not be any justice for anyone in this particular case. Next on the docket, an update on the Ahmaud Arbery trial, which is going on in Georgia. An officer testified that the ex-cop on trial for Ahmaud Arbery's death consoled his son after the fatal shooting, saying, "You had no choice." That's what Gregory McMichael, the ex-cop, told his son, Travis McMichael, who's his co-defendant. Now, additional body cam footage presented in court also suggests that the elder McMichael wanted to shoot Arbery. In fact, to be perfectly honest with you, if I could have gotten a shot at the guy, I would have shot him myself. That's what McMichael told Officer Jeff Brandberry body-worn camera. Now, McMichael added, "This ain't no shuffler. This guy's an a-hole." And he wasn't as polite as I was. Well, the Glenn County police detective, Parker Marcy, also took the stand, alleging that hours after the incident, McMichael admitted he was carrying a pistol and was prepared to shoot Arbery. Now, according to the transcript, McMichael said in his conversation with Detective Marcy, "I said, stop. You know, I'll blow your effing head off or something. I was trying to convey to this guy we weren't playing." Now, during the hearing, the jury was also presented with several photos that the police took of Travis McMichael in the moments after he shot Arbery. The pictures show the younger McMichael with the jogger's blood on his hands and arms, as well as spatter on his shirt, face, and neck. Then Officer William Duggan, who also responded to the scene, testified and said when he approached the younger McMichael, he was covered in blood, saying, "I'm not okay." Gregory McMichael also had Arbery's blood on his right hand. Police testified to it to the court. Now, Brandberry said when he arrived on the scene shortly after the fatal shooting that McMichael told him he got the blood on himself because he moved Arbery's arm as he lay prone on the ground to check him for a weapon. He said, quote, "I didn't know if he," referring to Arbery, "had a weapon or not. I don't take any chances," McMichael told the officer. And that's why he allegedly touched the body. Now, the McMichaels and Brody Bryant have all pled not guilty to the charges of murder, aggravated assault, criminal attempt to commit false imprisonment. Obviously, the case is not over. We'll see and continue to see how this case comes out at the end. Ghislaine Maxwell, still trying to get out of custody. U.S. District Court Judge Allison Nathan on Tuesday once again denied Ghislaine Maxwell's request to be released on bail as both sides prepare for trial. Now, Maxwell is charged with procuring minors for that guy named Jeff and lying about it to federal investigators. Maxwell has pled not guilty. Now, that guy named Jeff, he died in jail awaiting trial from an apparent suicide back in 2019. Maxwell's legal team claimed they must be going through humiliating circumstances to visit their client in jail, and that Maxwell must endure physical and emotional abuse, unsanitary conditions, poor nutrition, and sleep deprivation. Now, Judge Nathan rejected those claims again, saying that Maxwell has adequate access to legal counsel and legal mail in order to prepare for trial. The judge also directed the government to take all available measures to make sure Maxwell has what she needs to prepare for trial. Now, this time, Maxwell's attorneys sought to exchange jail without bail for house arrest and 24-hour guards, but the judge said no. Now, the judge has now blocked Maxwell's release four times, and a Manhattan federal appeals court has denied bail requests twice. Judge Nathan is also considering a motion from Maxwell's lawyers to exclude testimony of one of her accusers. The alleged accuser number three was reportedly 17 when Maxwell allegedly recruited her in London, where the age of consent is 16. Court began the jury selection process last week, sending out questionnaires to prospective jurors. And the first round of questioning begins November 16th with a final examination of jurors not expected to end until at least November 29th. All right, remember the video we brought you about a woman in Brooklyn who was on the phone when a woman in a black leggings got out of a white sedan, walked up to her, and shot her? Well, the New York Police Commissioner Dermont Shea tweeted out apprehension made on Monday, and on Tuesday, police officials identified the woman believed to have shot 42-year-old Delilah Johnson, the mother of a 17-year-old, in the back of the head on August 4th. The suspect in this horrific shooting was arrested in Florida. The suspect has been identified as Claudia Banton, 42, who also goes by the name Claudia Williams and Keisha Brown. Now, family members previously said that they recognized the shooter in the video as a family friend, but it's not clear if Banton is the woman they recognized. Police have not yet revealed a motive for the shooting, but family members said they believe the shooter may have followed Johnson from a funeral earlier in the evening. Now, Banton is being held in Jacksonville County Jail on a fugitive warrant and is awaiting extradition to New York. And we haven't brought it to you in a while, but how about, that's right, some more angry customers and food crimes or crimes committed with food. A Texas woman drenched a restaurant manager with piping hot spicy soup after finding melted plastic in her takeout order from a popular fast food Mexican chain. Now, the restaurant manager, Janelle Broland, was doused with Mexican menudo soup on November 7th after a customer at Sol de Jalisco in Temple claimed it was too hot. The plastic lid on the container melted into the broth. Now, Broland can be seen talking with the woman as she takes the lid off the soup container and points at it. The customer then abruptly throws the soup at Broland, grabs her male companion, and races out the door. Now, the video has since gone viral on TikTok and has more than 5 million views. Now, Broland said she felt like she had been pepper sprayed, but was not seriously injured. The unidentified soup tosser will face criminal charges. Now, fortunately, while Broland was wiping her face of the spicy soup, customers sprung into action, getting picture of the suspect and her license plate. What is it with people and their food? I just do not get it. Crime Talks, dumb criminal of the day. 33-year-old Gregory Bonnet was arrested after allegedly entering a woman's home and then dropping through the attic and crashing through the woman's apartment in Jefferson Davis Parish in Louisiana. The apartment's owner reportedly called the sheriff's office after seeing the suspect, Gregory Bonnet, drop from the attic area into her apartment. Bonnet allegedly fled the scene once he saw the owner was home. Now, the Jefferson Davis Parish Sheriff's deputies reportedly caught up with Bonnet and arrested him for two counts of unauthorized entry of an inhabited dwelling. That's all we have for you today. It was a busy day. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.